Thank you. I think we're using this mic now, so thank you all for participants up here and Alexi. That message to the children this morning brought me to tears, and I feel like after that we should just go home. And thank you to the mothers who bring forth the little ones. We were all little ones and had our experience being young and simple, and as we grow, the mind grows and the mind expands, and this is what God intends for us, to use what he's given us to the full capacity. Today I will probably be doing some hand waving, and I'm reminded of what Paul said, if he could just have five words: Jesus Christ, the Son of God, crucified twice. And he's given us feet, and we are to carry and to repeat that message as we walk with the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity you've given us today to come together on your day of rest, that we may rest from our labors, our thoughts, and consideration, but we ask that you would bring your Spirit into us, that you may speak directly to us through your word, through a recollection of the words that were written for our blessing, so that we may, yes, Lord, by your word, bring forth fruits. I want to thank the mothers also, again, that do bring forth. Mothers do that, bring forth. I'm reminded of God who brought forth his son, and Adam, who was brought forth from him, Eve. And Eve, who brought forth two classes, Cain, Abel, who was killed, sacrificed, and Seth, who produced further the sons of God. I'm reminded of Jesus, from whom the church was brought forth, from his side. I'm reminded of the church, the woman who, yes, became corrupt, and there was another who was pure, and from that corrupt came forth the pure, and from that pure come forth the children of God. Oh, what manner of love that we should be called the children of God. So this is an incomplete study on the study of the phrase bring forth, to bring about, to proceed. What is the origin, or from whom does this command to bring forth come? And we read the scripture. It comes from God. He spoke, and by his word there is power. And from whom does this power come from? Comes from God, his word. Well, we all should know, and God is the source and origin of all things. Now, what did Jesus say? We know all this. He put a different angle on it. Matthew 15:18, he said, "But for those things that proceed out of the mouth of God come forth from the heart, and defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And these are the things which defile a man." Okay, so man has become corrupted by sin. We understand that. The heart of man is deceitful. But is there hope? Yes. Five words. Jeremiah 17, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit, bringing forth fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the answer is in verse 10, I, the Lord, he says, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So my ways and my doings aren't going to produce, or are not going to produce or bring forth a blessing, right? So what must I do? You may say, well, the answer is, be like a tree that's planted by the waters, spreading forth our roots. The tree planted by the waters and spread it out through roots, and shall not see when the heat comes, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The tree becomes submissive to the place where she has been planted, interesting, near the waters of a river. And she spreads out her roots to receive that water of life. And her leaves become green, filled with hope, hope of the soon coming fruit, preceded by the leaves. When God plants the garden, fruit is sure to come. It sounds like Jeremiah was referring to a fruitful church filled with the Spirit of life, who is Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. May that be the case throughout this talk this morning. And what did David say? Psalms 119, wherewithal shall a man, young man cleanse his ways by taking heed thereunto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches, and I will meditate in thy precepts. Have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. What will be the result of receiving the word? We see in the story of Jesus casting out a spirit, Luke 4:35, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. So the word of God has power to free us from bondage, the bondage of sin. Sin is a crippling disease that is brought out upon us when we choose to become separated from the will, which is the word of God. The will of God is in his word. Here's the problem we face. Then when lust or desire from our heart has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Wages, it's the result of labor. Labor is unrest. It is not resting. What we do. But laboring together with God is rest for man, and it produces God's righteousness in man. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Proverbs 10:16, the labor of the fruit of the righteous tendeth to life. The fruit of the labor of the wicked tendeth to sin and then to death. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin, wages for your labor, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life would not be a gift if it was by labor. You got it? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, living within us as we submit to his word, his will. James 3:18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So let us make peace, sow seeds, the word of God in peace. Righteousness is the fruit in our lives and the lives of others. Isaiah 3:10 says, so say ye to the righteous that it may be well with him, for they shall eat of the fruit of their doings. John 4:34, Jesus said unto them, my meat, my food to eat is to do the will, the word of him that sent me, and to finish his work. From the story of Jesus and the woman at the well, E.G. White comments, now as food is pleasant and delightful, DA 191, as food is pleasant and delightful and refreshing to the body of man, so doing the will of God was delightful and as delightful and refreshing to the soul of Christ. He took as much pleasure in it, doing the will of God, doing the will of God as a hungry man does in eating and drinking. One part of the will of God was to assume nature, human nature. This he had done. And with delight and pleasure, he did. Another part of it was to fulfill the law. And this was in his heart. The law was in his heart, and it was his delight. And he was now doing it. And another branch of it was to suffer and die in the room instead of his people. And as disagreeable as in itself it was to the human nature, yet he cheerfully agreed to it and was sometimes, as it were, impatient until it was accomplished. And he voluntarily became obedient to it. No man could with greater eagerness fall to eating when hungry than Jesus went about to do his Father's will and work, even that which was most ungrateful to him as a man. The disciples who could have brought him food, but he explained, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work. John 4:34, the Revised. As his words to the woman had aroused her conscience, Jesus rejoiced. He saw her drinking of the water of life, and his own hunger and thirst were satisfied. The accomplishment of the mission which he had left heaven to perform strengthened the Savior for his labor and lifted him above the necessities of humanity. To minister to a soul hungering and thirsting for the truth was more grateful to him than eating or drinking. It was a comfort, a refreshment to him. Benevolence was the life of his soul. Our Redeemer thirsts for recognition. He hungers for the sympathy and love of those whom he has purchased with his own blood. He longs with inexpressible desire that they should come to him and have life. As the mother watches for the smile of recognition from her little child, which tells of the dawning of intelligence, so does Christ watch for the expression of grateful love, which shows that spiritual life is begun in the soul. The scripture reading, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. How did the earth bring forth? By the word of the Lord. And what the word brings forth is always good. After the flood, there was the recreative destruction of the flood. Creative destruction, that's a kind of a modern term. We kind of see it going on today. Was not the flood by God's word?
Yes.
Genesis 6:17, and behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. So we see that the cleansing of the earth was a necessary good. And at the end of the cleansing, and at the end, there will be another cleansing, that is, the cleansing by fire. And to restore the population of the earth to Noah, God said, Genesis 8:16, go forth of the ark, go thou and thy wife and thy sons and thy sons' wives with thee, bring forth with thee every living thing, that is, with thee of all flesh, both fowl and of cattle and of every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Continuing to Noah, God said, Genesis 9:7, and you be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and his sons and said, saying, behold, I establish my covenant, my promise, my word, my power with you and your seed after you. When God promises, he provides. Leviticus 25:21. He said, then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year. Remember the 6 years of work and the seventh. It is my blessing. And it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. This was during the seventh year that the land was to rest according to God's word. So God brings his blessing to prepare us so that when we rest, we have everything we need. Praise the Lord. The blessing is in his promise, which is in his word, and which is his will for us, which is a command of God, which is the law of God that empowers, the law of God empowers the believer to go and do his will. Praise the Lord. Psalms 112, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. And Psalms 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does meditate, day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Praise the Lord. Psalms 92, verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth in old age. Praise the Lord. They shall be fat and flourishing. Praise the Lord. In hope there is power, and where there is life, there is hope. Jeremiah 12:2, thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. Yea, they grow, and they bring forth fruit. And thou art near in their mouth, and far from their reins, their kidneys, their the seat of emotion, their senses. In other words, they don't say one thing and do another. The life is within them, and they live accordingly. Yes, there is corruption of God's word, and there are examples of that in God's word, and the result of corruption of God's word. And in the shortness of time, I will jump over my notes. But even in Ezekiel, the promise repeated in Revelation, by the river, upon the bank thereof, on his side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, for food, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed, it shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters, they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf for medicine. In the leaf there is hope and healing, in its profession of the fruit yet to come. The leaf and then the fruit. Revelation 22, verse 2, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, yielding her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Matthew 1, 21, and she shall bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jehovah is salvation. Quickly. How do we bring forth? And Jesus answered him and said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hates his life in this world shall keep it to eternal life. Praise the Lord. Death to self precedes new life in Christ. Again, death to self precedes new life in Christ. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me and you. Romans 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh and the affections and the lusts or desires. Jesus says, John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye abide, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not that what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things which I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you ask, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And these things I command you, that you love one another. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Romans 7, wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you shall be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And repeating Galatians 2:19, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Colossians 1:3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ and the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherefore you heard before the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as into all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since you heard it, that since the day you heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. The word of truth of the gospel bringeth forth fruit. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the righteous, is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 12:12. The wicked desireth the net of the evil man, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. Isaiah 3:10. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. And again, what is food? Eat the fruit of their doings. Jesus said, my food to do the will, the word of my Father, and to finish his work, that is the work performed by his word. We have the story of the seed, of the sower of seed, how he dispersed the seed, some good, some bad came up. Fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Ephesians 5:9. Philippians 1:11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather
unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Praise the Lord. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Praise the Lord. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. Philippians 1, 11 to 22. Hebrews 12. Now chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Exercised thereby. The peaceable fruit of righteousness it yieldeth. Therefore, lift up your hand. Lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Isaiah 35, strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. So say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easily entreated, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. This is the fruits of the Spirit. All right, I read a lot of the Word of God, and this last part, maybe a little intense. I pray it will help you, as it's helped me to hold the law in contemplation and the messages of the law. God is orderly in all his works and words, and the remarkable patterns he has placed in his word are able to motivate, to grow, and to sustain your faith and mine. Both that measure of faith which is a gift from God and that other portion of faith which we help to grow in our own experience with God through our own exercise of faith in God's word. Okay? We exercise faith in God's word and our faith grows beyond that which we are given. A pattern in gospel narrative can be seen in correlations within the Ten Commandment law. And between the three angels' message, the everlasting gospel, the fruits of the Spirit, against which there is no law, the days of creation, the Godhead, and others. God is not the author of confusion. When you contemplate the Ten Commandment law in your mind, I'm asking you, you don't have to, I'm asking you, to consider and contemplate. Contemplate it having three columns and three rows, like tic-tac-toe. This is where I start to become the human PowerPoint. And picture the fourth commandment law as the connecting link between the center row between column one, two, and three. Column one, three rows, three in a row, tic-tac-toe. It's not a game, it's actually the game of life and death. The Sabbath rest is the connecting link between our duty to God and our duty to man. Table one, table two. One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. Number four, the connecting link between column one, two, and three. Okay, maybe it's three dimensions. Maybe it is three dimensions. Okay, maybe it is. The Sabbath rest remains in our category of our duty to God, but is also the connecting link in our duty to our fellow man, because it is the righteousness of Christ living within our hearts through the Holy Spirit that empowers the work that while we also rest in Christ's work. Christ's work was done for all time on the cross. And we have this counsel. When the law was given at Sinai, the Sabbath was placed in the midst of the moral precepts, in the midst of the Ten Commandments, in the very bosom of the Ten Commandments, from the heart, page 355. Also related, she says, no man can rightly present the law of God without the gospel, or the gospel without the law. The law is the gospel embodied, and the gospel is the law unfolded. The law is the root, and the gospel is the fragrant blossom and fruit which it bears. Colossians, Christ Object Lessons, page 128. So the unfolding law gives the gospel a body, as it were, in three dimensions. She says, hanging upon the cross, Christ was the gospel. Praise the Lord. Could it be so simple? Hanging upon the cross, Christ was the gospel. Also, in this statement, the unfolding law, there's an implied symmetry with the unfolding of the law. And perhaps the most obvious pattern of similarity is seen in comparing command 1, 5, and 8. Please have patience with me. This will be done soon. The first commandment. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is a wonderful manifestation of God's love for his children. It's interesting because it's also the first fruit of the Spirit. First law, first fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, humility, temperance, self-control. Contemplate that the next time you have the opportunity to contemplate God's law and superimpose the fruits of the Spirit on God's law, because we are told the fruits of the Spirit against which there is no law. In other words, they are in union and are the manifestation or the empowerment of the law. Number five. I'm suggesting 1, 5, 8, love, joy, peace. Number five, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God giveth thee. We give honor first to God and then to our parents because they brought us out into this world. The eighth commandment, rather than being just a commandment not to steal, is clearly a promise and an empowerment to give. To give what? Don't steal, but to give. Certainly we must give the highest and only gift that man can give, and that is what? To give glory and honor to God and our parents respectively. Praise the Lord. Anything less than that would be stealing. If we're not giving honor and glory to our parents and to God, anything less than that would be, number eight, stealing. And in giving, how do we have anything more but peace? Love, joy, peace. Be patient with me. Perhaps the next most obvious pattern of similarity is commandment is seen in comparing commandment 3, 7, and 10. Remember, it goes 1, 2, 3, 4 is in the heart, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now we're going to look at 3, 7, 10. It's down there. There's a reason for that. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number 3. For the Lord shall not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. And Jesus confirms, Matthew 5:33, again you have heard that had been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thy oaths. No false oaths. The most sacred oath being the oath of marriage. Yes? And what is the seventh commandment? Seventh commandment, no adultery, no false or unlawful marriage. In the negative sense, it's don't commit adultery in order to convict of sin. The law is to convict us of sin. But the empowerment of the law is to empower us to do right, which is humility. Wow, how deep is that thought? When you contemplate it, the comparison of humility and the fruits of the Spirit to adultery and the self-exaltation and the act of adultery, do you see the contrast? From a positive sense, God, through his Spirit, will empower true and lawful, that is, he will empower a true and lawful and what? A perfect marriage. Not adultery, but a perfect marriage. Starting first with who? Our union with Christ through the Holy Spirit so that we can produce and bring forth fruit. Praise the Lord. The tenth commandment. Tenth commandment down here. It's a third reference to marriage because the way we are married to God is how? We'll get to that. Thou shalt neither desire thy neighbor's wife. Why am I pointing down here? 1, 5, 8, 9, 10. 10 is the ninth fruit, which is self-control. Thou shalt not desire thy neighbor's wife because you have self-control. You will not covet. You will not covet or desire thy neighbor's wife, his family, his wife, his house, his field, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox or his ass, or anything that is in thy neighbor's. Thou shalt not covet or desire thy neighbor's house, his family. This is both in Deuteronomy 21 and Exodus 20. I'm repeating both verses because they're both very similar. Nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So again, the 10th commandment is not just a commandment not to desire your neighbor's wife, house, or things, but actually a promise that God will fulfill his desires. All of one's desires he will fulfill in the union of marriage between God and man through the Holy Spirit. All right. The Holy Spirit, from the quote on page 669 of Desire of Ages, the Holy Spirit is Christ's representative, but divested of the personality of humanity and independent thereof. Cumbered with humanity, Christ could not be in every place personally. Therefore, it was for their interest that he should go to the Father and send the Spirit to be his successor on earth. No one could then have any advantage because of his location or his personal contact with Christ. By the Spirit, the Savior would be accessible to all. In this sense, he would be nearer to them than if he had not ascended on high. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. All right, the central pattern in the law certainly has to do with Christ. It's the second row of the three columns of the Ten Commandments. It's going to be 2, 6, 9. This may be hard, our mental brain, to imagine this, but I ask you to try and be patient with me as I try to get through it. Thou shalt not make any graven image. This is number 2 command. Or any likeness, or anything in heaven above, or that in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation and them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Christ is the image. Christ is the image. Christ is the image, the only likeness of the Father. John 14:9, Jesus says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Do you see the connection with the second commandment? Jesus was cut out. He is the graven image cut out from God. The second commandment is a representation of Jesus. No other who came out, who was brought forth from the bosom of the Father. Jesus said, I come forth from the Father. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. This is a direct reference to Jesus. Them that love me keep my commandments. It's in the second commandment. Jesus is speaking in the second commandment. Because in John 14:15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, said Jesus. We're not to bow down thyself to these idols nor serve them. Only Jesus. Are we to bow down and worship him? Psalms 95:6, oh come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before our Lord and Maker, our Maker, who is Jesus. Philippians 2:10, and at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and of things in the earth and things under the earth. In Exodus 34:8, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. The lawgiver, Jesus, who is the Word of God. And why is he jealous in the second commandment? Well, he's the husband. He's jealous for his wife, who is the church. To be envied, jealous, to be envious, zealous. What does zealous mean? It's filled with or showing a strong, energetic desire to get something done or see something succeed. He's passionate, showing or caused by strong feelings or strong belief. That would be none other than Jesus and his zeal for his wife, who is the church. He will, check this out, he will visit the iniquity. This is in the second commandment. He will go see, avenge, do judgment, attend to. He will care for, deliver to keep. How about this? How about he will come again to do judgment, to bring his captive loved ones back home? That would be none other than Jesus, the deliverer, the savior in all of his comings. Praise the Lord. Exodus 34:6, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, the Lord, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, all the names and characteristics of Christ. Revelation 3:14, he is the faithful and true witness. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Exodus 33, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou can't see my face, for no man can see me and live. When you look into the image of Christ on the cross, we look and live, but self dies. Amen. Isaiah 59, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Isaiah 64, and there is none that calls upon my name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and has consumed us because of our iniquities. Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Exodus 34, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children until the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped Christ. I inserted that. Numbers 14:18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation. Okay, second commandment. One commandment, second commandment, forbidding to worship idols. And therefore, this is an empowerment to what? To worship Christ. Praise the Lord. Number six, thou shalt not kill. You have heard it said of them in the middle of time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment, Jesus said in Matthew 5:21. So in the positive, the command not to kill is an empowerment to what? To give life. Not to kill, to give life. Who is the life giver? Jesus is the life giver. And we killed him. He is the lamb that was slain. Number nine, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Jesus is the true witness, the faithful and true witness. So a summary, second row of three columns, commandments 2, 6, and 9, contain a pattern of similarity representing Jesus. The fruits of the Spirit are superimposed in the law in this alignment, providing further enforcement and clarity to the gospel message. The fruits of the Spirit, against which there is no law. These are the empowerments of the law in the positive sense, coming from God in the heart through Christ's representative, the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. We have love, the first commandment, the first fruit of the Spirit. Joy, the fifth commandment, the second fruit of the Spirit. Peace, the third fruit of the Spirit, the eighth commandment. Long-suffering patience, the fourth fruit of the Spirit, the second commandment. We have the Sabbath rest in Christ, who is our righteousness, which is the covenant sign between our duty to man and our duty to God. We have gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit, which is at the center of the fruit, which is a pure representation of Christ's Spirit within us. And we have superimposed on gentleness the commandment not to kill. The commandment not to kill. And yet we killed him who is gentle. We have number nine commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And we have the fruit of the Spirit correlate with that, which is goodness. For it's good not to be a false witness, but to be a true and faithful witness. That is God, and God alone is good. We have faith. Faith is the seventh fruit of the Spirit. It's the third commandment correlation. For our true profession in marriage through the Holy Spirit, which is Christ's representative, we are given faith as a gift. It's also a gift and a fruit. And number seven, no adultery or true marriage is a true manifestation of meekness. Is not marriage a manifestation of true humility as one submits to the other in the holy union of matrimony? Is it not? And it is in the 10th commandment that you will not covet, you will not desire anything else, because you have self-control. And self-control is the 9th fruit of the Spirit, correlated to the 10th commandment, which comes about because we are married to Christ through the Holy Spirit, and He provides us everything we desire. He fulfills us. He is our other self. And so we rest in Christ's work of this fruit of the Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit in us, which produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit in and through us, that is. So the gospel narrative, there's a gospel narrative reading down the columns or across each roll. There's a gospel narrative. So this is a brief taste. It's a sample of the ability to see in God's law the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the three angels' message. Fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. It's a way to see the gospel in creation, the 6 days of creation, first day, second day, third day, fourth day, correlated to the sun, moon, and stars, and honoring God, the sun, moon, and stars, as in the dream of Joseph. See the correlation there. These are all representations of the gospel message, and it's so simple. Thank you, Alexi. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. When you grow up, expand your mind and contemplate the Word of God, the law of God. Hereby, verse John 3:16, hereby we perceive. How do you perceive? We perceive the love of God because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Father, Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, how do you believe? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Whosoever believed Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Luke 8, and He answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren, these are which hear the word of God and do it. So, it is Mother's Day tomorrow, and I'm grateful to my mother. I don't know why I'm here today, except I think it had to do with Pastor Tony, right before and after my mother's birthday, and now right before Mother's Day. My mother and my brethren, these are they which hear the word of God and do it. And so, brothers and sister, happy Mother's Day. We are all to be mothers and bring forth much fruit. Thank you, Mother, for all your prayers. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as a garden causeth things that are sown into it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Isaiah 61:11. And so by the word of the Lord, bring forth and bear much fruit. In Jesus' name is our prayer. And now for our closing hymn.
Thank you, John. What a blessing. God can save anyone, amen? Then let's stand and sing our closing song, number 340, Jesus Saves. We will do the first and the last verse.
We have heard a joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. spread the gladness all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steps and cross the waves. Onward tis the Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shall salvation full and free, highest hymns and deepest praise, 'tis our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Let's pray. Father, I ask you to forgive my feeble instrument. May the words received be all yours, your words, by your Spirit, for all your honor and glory, for the salvation of all your children.